If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 530. It's IGN's weekly Xbox show, this one for February 8th, 2022. Ryan McCaffrey alongside the usual crew, Miranda Sanchez, Destin Legarry, and Stella Chung. Hey, Miranda, I want to start with you because for everybody that hung in for the entire episode last week, they know that we sort of teased a cliffhanger of sorts. And you have delivered. So we talked about I don't know if you want to recap it again real quick, but Microsoft partnered up and did some Xbox themed nail polishes, which you have.
Yeah, so I got six of the collection, which is quite a lot. So the big draw to these is one, they're just like loosely named after Xbox things. So I did my nails. I'm trying to hold them. If you guys aren't watching, I have three nail polishes in my hands right now. It's very goofy. But OPI is one of the better nail polish brands, I would say. So here we are. Yay. The one that I have right now on most of my hands, so I did like three different colors so I could show them off. I did these on Saturday and they're lasting really well. This one's called You Had Me at Halo, which is a really beautiful blue, glittery. It's like kind of Cortana colored in a way. It's like got a beautiful sparkle to it. And then there's this other one that is called Sage Simulation, which is another more Halo-esque one. So it's kind of a partnership with Microsoft and focusing on Halo and Forza. So both of them have in-game rewards, but of course the Halo one's the one I want because you get a glittery Spartan that's purple. And I was like, yes, thank you.
So that one looks like the color of like the Halo logo, right? It's like it's that kind of blue.
Yes, it's a lighter blue, and it's pretty cool because it has sort of like green tones to it. It's really hard to show on camera, but that looks nice. And then this one is just a very light green, which is called The Pass is Always Greener. So that's a fun one too. But so it's just cool to have nail polish that's themed after my controllers and stuff. So like when I hold like any little bits around my desk, I'm like, oh yes, look, it's my nails. I'm ready to be a gamer. But I think the thing too is like having a nail polish collaboration sort of a big deal because I was somebody, especially growing up, I loved nail polish collaborations. I kind of touched on this at the last in the last episode, but having Xbox say, hello, folks who wear nail polish, here you go. And I was like, thank you. So especially because I get a special Halo skin that I think not a lot of people are going to have unless they have other fellows buying nail polish for them. Or you could also just buy nail polish, guys. Just wear it.
No, why not?
Yeah. Miranda, are you always going to do all the colors or is there one that you like the most?
So I have three more. There's a red color that I'm really excited to try. I don't have their names with me. I forgot to bring them over. But I think
is
I like
red
to
ring
do
of death.
No, but it would have been really funny.
So good.
No, I'll probably do like a few different every time just because I think they look really good together, and like the three or the six that I got kind of look like a set. So I'll keep mixing it up. Nail polish lasts a long time, and it takes a long time to get through all of it. So I'll have a lot of different colors.
The big thing I'm taking away from this, not knowing a thing about nail polish, is that you're saying that Microsoft didn't just like partner up with some cheap, you know, this isn't like a cash grab. It sounds like it's actual good quality nail polish.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that was really exciting for me, because OPI is like one of the more, it's very goofy to say, one of the premier nail polish brands. So being able to have something that's like that, because it feels more marketed to, say, you know, adults and more mature women who have probably been gaming all their life, and then saying like, hey, here's for you. And then you can get some exclusive stuff in game too. And it was just nice to see that.
Have you unlocked the in-game cosmetics yet? Like, have you seen them?
I have the code. I just have to redeem it. So I'm probably going to do that tonight and go run around in Halo.
All right. Well, maybe on your Twitter feed you can post a screen grab of it, because I'm curious to see what the in-game reward is.
Yeah.
All right. Moving forward this week, Destin, have we had any acquisitions in the last 5 minutes that we need to know about before we continue with the show?
Not yet. I could check Twitter really quick. Say, maybe something's broke. We did start the show, so yeah.
It's 11:17 a.m. on Tuesday. We got to make sure that nobody's bought anyone before we proceed with the rest of the show, because we do have a big topic this week, which is Grand Theft Auto 6. It's not been officially announced, but it's been officially acknowledged by Rockstar for the first time. With the unprecedented longevity of GTA 5, this is Rockstar talking in a bulletin that they sent out just this week. We know many of you have been asking us about a new entry in the Grand Theft Auto series. With every new project we embark on, our goal is always to significantly move beyond what we have previously delivered. And we are pleased to confirm that active development for the next entry in the Grand Theft Auto series is well underway. We look forward to sharing more as soon as we are ready, so please stay tuned to the Rockstar Newswire for official details. On behalf of our entire team, we thank you all for your support and cannot wait to step into the future with you. There is a lot to talk about here, and I'll start with Stella, since I have not talked to her yet today. So, Stella, your initial reaction here, I guess the first kind of question I'll go around the table is, okay, it's been acknowledged but not announced, so when do you think we might actually see this thing? When might it actually come out?
I don't know. At this point, I'm just tabling it in my mind. I'm just like, until I see like actual official news on it, I'm like, you know, it's fine, whatever. Acknowledgement, okay, cool. We kind of knew that it was happening anyway, so I'm just like, oh, you're working on the next, oh no, who could have thought, you know? So for me, I'm just like, you know what, it's what, GTA 5 released in 2013. I'm like, it has gone for a really long time and it still continues to do well for them, so I'm like, I genuinely don't know. I want to say maybe like 2-3 years if they're just acknowledging that they're working on it now. I want to say at least 2 years. That's kind of my guess. And I'm honestly just tabling it in my head. I'm just like, I don't want to lean on anything right now. I'll just say that it's out there. It is in development and that's fine. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm thinking holiday 2024 is probably the soonest we'd actually get to see this thing. Destin, how about you? Are you any more optimistic that we might see like a shorter, you know, sort of marketing timeline because they're still going to want to keep people engaged in spending money in GTAO? Or what's your take on when we might actually see Grand Theft Auto 6 on our hard drives?
Well, I, for one, am shocked that Grand Theft Auto 6 is in development. They could have been working on anything. Like, we had no clue. And wow, who knew? I don't think we actually see gameplay or a trailer for 2 years. I sort of agree with Stella with the timeline. I think we're going to get a lot of, like, we'll probably get a screenshot, or maybe we get like a teaser of a logo. I don't really know what they're going to do. They still have to deal with the sort of uproar about how bad the ports of the old games were, which they've addressed with a lot of patches, to be fair, but there's still work to do there. So, you know, I think they want to get away from that. So 2 years is my timeline.
Miranda, are you any more optimistic?
No. Because we got Red Dead in 2018. So, I mean, obviously they have, Rockstar is rather large. And obviously they've been working on this for a very long time, I'm sure. But I'm going to push the boundaries and I'm going to say, wait, what year is it? 2022. Oh, Jan. Okay. I was going to say, wait, next year's 10 years since the last GTA. Is. Wow. Okay. I was going to say, let's go for 10 years. I was like, no, that's next year. That's too soon. let's say, well, put them 2 years. Let's say 2024. Sure. 2 years. No.
Yeah.
Let's say 2025. Let's make it cool.
Yeah. I can't argue with any of you. I mean, and Miranda, I'm glad you brought up Red Dead in the sense that the difference now, from when GTA 5 came, I guess, I don't know if they'd already quite made this change as a company, talking about Rockstar, by 2013. But in any case, the reality now is that Rockstar, you know, it used to be there was Rockstar North, they did GTA, Rockstar San Diego, they did Red Dead, Rockstar Vancouver did Bully, and I think maybe Max Payne, I can't remember if they were Max Payne 3 or not. San Diego way in the past before Red Dead did Midnight Club. But now Rockstar is basically one giant studio in a bunch of different cities that works on one thing at a time. Now, just not to say, you know, as Destin brought up the remaster of the trilogy, that was handled by one of the studios. But as far as new big games, it seems to be it's one at a time. And the pattern seems to be GTA alternating with Red Dead. And as Miranda noted, Red Dead 2 was 2018. So, you know, it's going to be at least 5 years between a major Rockstar release. So, yeah, I mean, next year would be the absolute earliest, which, of course, would be the 10th anniversary. But yeah. I am with all of three of you. I think 2024 is the earliest we would see it. And my guess is it may get announced for like holiday 2024 and then probably need to delay into spring of 2025, which. Wait, when I say 2025 out loud, that sounds it's really far away. It's very weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying that out loud, it's like, that seems like the future. Like
I keep thinking last year was 2020. I'm like, wait, no, it was 2021. Wild.
Well, this year is going to be the marketing for the next gen release, right? I don't think they're going to muddle that up with GTA 6. I believe they announced in their earnings call like yesterday that they're going to focus on Red Dead Online being like a standalone experience and GTA Online being a standalone experience, I think. Don't quote me on that. but I have to imagine that we get a few years of that. And Red Dead Online right now, the community is desperately asking for them to do something about the state of the game. Yep. So hopefully that will be addressed sometime soon. But like I said, I think they want to focus on a few of their initiatives that are happening right now. And that's additionally part of the reason why I think it's going to take 2 years before we see anything about GTA 6. They want to make sure Red Dead's in a good place. GTA Online is in a good place. The old remasters are back in a good place, and that the next gen version of the games launches for the third time and goes off without a snag.
By the way, Destin, I know that was like a slip of the tongue, but I want to endorse. Can we start calling these kinds of, you know, releases of old games, can we start calling them regens?
Right.
Yeah. Because it totally works.
It sounded really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I love it. All right. So we're all in agreement that we're not going to see 6 for quite some time. But, and that sort of goes into the next question I want to go around the table with. And that is, what do you all think of this extended time? It is going to be a minimum of 10 years. Possibly 11, possibly 12 between Grand Theft Auto 5 and Grand Theft Auto 6. Do you think that gap will hurt the sort of hype and interest in GTA 6? Or will that long gap create a thirst and it will actually help its hype and marketing? Stella, I'll go your way first.
Okay. I mean, I don't think it's like I don't think it's helping or hurting, honestly. I think it's kind of just a neutral territory. Like, they're definitely giving GTA 5, you know, run of the money. Like, they're letting people enjoy it. And it stands, it's fine, right? I mean, so we were kind of having this discussion last week about Call of Duty, how pumping out titles every year is a lot, doesn't really let the game sit. Of course, GTA 5 has been sitting for a little bit too long. But like the fact that people are still enjoying it, the fact that there are mods like No Pixel and stuff that let people RP in GTA is huge. So there is still a very big community that plays GTA actively. I don't think that, okay. So if this was something like Cyberpunk, where they released a bunch of stuff and were like, hey, yeah, this is going to be out. Look at all this cool stuff. And if we were expecting things from GTA 6, then yes, I think that this amount of time that they are spending between 5 and 6 would hurt them. But because we have nothing, we have no expectations, we have no information, I think it's fine. So I think we're just kind of in this neutral, like, waiting territory where it's just like, oh, I mean, it sucks, but... I mean, we don't know what city it's going to be. We have literally no information about the next title. We have nothing. So it's like, okay, well, cool. They're working on it. I guess we'll just see what they have next. So I think it's just kind of like, meh.
So it's, you know, if this is Star Trek, we're in the neutral zone right now.
So, yeah, there you go.
Fair to say. Destin, your thoughts. And I know you brought up the GTA 5 next gen release. We're going to talk more about that in a minute because Rockstar did finally give some concrete updates there too, but what do you think? Help or hurt this with this long delay?
Yeah, I think it's really going to hurt Grand Theft Auto, the biggest. They literally said, yeah, we confirm we're working on Grand Theft Auto 6. And it was like the biggest story of the day, at least, if not the week. So I think it's going to be just fine. I highly doubt that they're going to see even the smallest impact to having a longer development cycle. If anything, I think people are going to be more hyped, Ryan. Okay. I think people will be more excited than anything.
Miranda, how about you?
I would say Stella makes an excellent point in that there have been no promises made of anything. And because of that, I think that's better goodwill toward whatever could come. So since we don't have any expectations aside from the standard that GTA 5 and all the previous GTA set, which is a pretty high standard, we can just only look forward to what's coming rather than having to be worried about anything.
Yeah. How do they improve from 5? Because I'm watching this footage right now and I'm just like, this game is just amazing. Like what they were able to accomplish. And then there's the heist and all the things that they've done with GTA Online. Like what, like how do they go up from here? Cause the bar is set so high.
Well, and that's what GTA does, right? They have, like, you know, when Rockstar says in their statement, mm-hmm. our goal is always to significantly move beyond what we have previously delivered. Like that's marketing hyperbole for like 95% of video games, but they've actually done it. In my opinion, mm-hmm. I've said before, I'll say right now, again, I think Grand Theft Auto 5 is one of the probably 10 or 20 greatest video games of all time. I think it's that good. And to your point, Destin, it's crazy to remember that this game came out originally on the 360. Mm-hmm. The 360. That's how good this game is, and that's how old this game is at this point. And it, you know, they of course brought it over to Xbox One with a first person mode, among other enhancements. And we're going to talk in a minute about the enhancements it's getting as it crosses over into another new generation. Joining, I guess, Destin is. Is it going to be GTA 5 and Destiny? Are those the only two three-generation games?
Oh, well, Destiny's...
Maybe Minecraft, right?
Destiny's pretty different of a case because it's like a World of Warcraft-type game that's just consistently updated, right?
But true.
I get what you're saying. So, like, Destiny started on 360.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, geez.
Well, or there was a 360 version, right? I mean, it really...
Yeah.
It started as an Xbox One PS4 game, but they did support the 360 for a while there.
Yeah, I never even thought about that, Ryan. That's yeah, I don't know. That's interesting to think about. Wow. So this is what, though? So it went 360 to Xbox One. Now it's going from Xbox One to Xbox Series X and S. Plus, they did the PC version of the game. Like, they've re-released this game so many times to the point that people are like, I think they're fatigued about GTA 5 re-releases because, like I said before, like the game's already stunning. Yes, the PC version and the first person modes, when those were added, that was pretty cool stuff. But since then, I think like the interest level is slightly lessened each time. But when they do expansions like the recent Dr. Dre stuff, people are still really, really into those. But when you're talking about like technical enhancements, I feel like they're kind of like the best in the business already. So it's like, oh, you made it somehow better. Great.
Yeah, you hit on exactly a point that I was going to bring up, which is that there is this kind of core community backlash against like, oh, GTA 5 again. Mm-hmm. Which you might think on the surface, oh, well, that's going to hurt GTA 6's hype and interest after all these years of waiting for it. But no, I'm with Stella that like as soon as there is actual information about GTA 6, all that will melt away instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And everyone, myself very much included, is going to get start getting super hyped for this. Note that, by the way, of major franchises, there is a major series that is an Xbox exclusive now, by the way, that will actually go longer than Grand Theft Auto 5 to 6 between its own 5th and 6th mainline release, and that's Elder Scrolls. Because it's, although for a completely different reason, right? For Grand Theft Auto, it's been this long because GTA Online has turned into this living entity that makes them endless amounts of cash on a monthly basis. But with Elder Scrolls, it's because it's Todd Howard's baby. There's only one Todd Howard, and he was busy with Fallout 4 and now Starfield. But that's like, you think about that too, just as a quick tangent. Elder Scrolls is probably going to be 15 years. Think about that. 15 years between, because it's 2011 with Skyrim. And yes, that's been re-released a million times. But if, you know, Starfield's hopefully going to be out this year as promised. And then let's say Elder Scrolls, you know, we know they're going right into Elder Scrolls after that. When I interviewed Todd Howard for Skyrim's 10th anniversary last fall, he said they're in pre-production on Elder Scrolls 6 right now. But it's going to be at least 3 years of full and proper development, if not four, but before Elder Scrolls 6 actually comes out. So if Starfield is 2022, you're looking at like 2025 or 2026. So yeah, you're looking at 14 or 15 years between mainline entries there, which will make the wait for GTA 6 seem tame by comparison. All right. Now let's have a little more fun with this. Now that we know GTA 6 is officially a real thing and the countdown of sorts is on, even though there are still a lot of sands in that hourglass at the top of the hourglass. Where do you all think it's going to be set? Miranda, do you think they'll go back to one of their existing cities, perhaps Vice City? Are they going to go somewhere new? What do you say?
New. And I have a hope. I have a hope. I would like for them to take it to the sister state of California, which is not technically a sister state, but in my mind it is, which is Texas. So I grew up in Texas, love Texas. I always remember everyone who came to our school who was new, they were always from California. Like there's just such a weird crossover between Texas and California. And I think Texas as a state has a lot of interesting history and places to visit. Also maybe a space station where you could do some cool GTA space things potentially, since we get so many space Easter eggs. Like there's just so much there and options and like locales that they could use that I think it would just be a really interesting and versatile space for them to satire and play around with. Also I would, well, I guess this is a character thing, but I would like a cool Chola character, please. Thank you.
Oh, we're going to talk characters in a minute. Yeah, no, I like that thought because you could do, you know, you kind of reference Houston. You could go the GTA versions of Houston, San Antonio with the Alamo, Dallas, and even you could throw Austin in there too as kind of the like four different big cities. Plus, of course, the vast desert, the vast, you know, the vast West.
A lot of space out there.
Yeah, Texas could be good. I like that. There's you know, there's a body of water there. You'd have a Gulf. You can do some, you know, jet ski stuff and other sort of aquatic based missions. So that's a good suggestion. I like that one. Destin, how about you? Where are we going? Where do you want to go for GTA 6?
I think we go back to Vice City. I know a lot of the community has been talking about Vice City as a location, you know, posting Photoshop logos of what that would look like. And I think we go back to Vice City and we see like what happened since the adventures of Tommy Vercetti. Personally, though, I think they could do something as interesting as doing the entirety of the United States, like all of the locations in one game, because that would be one way where they are pushing the technology forward. You talk about one location like Texas, it gives them like a lot to do narratively with the satire and humor that they're able to execute on. But I think they did that like in the 360 era and before, where they would pick sort of one location due to limitations. And as the technology has gotten more powerful, I wonder if they're able to do more with an entire like United States potentially.
Texas is huge, is all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. But like a desert area, I have to imagine, like in San Andreas, a lot of that, like if you go back and play those games now, there's a lot of how do I put it? Like, there's not a lot going on in those areas, in the right. desert areas. And I wonder if that was partially done because of the technical constraints at the time.
Oh, for sure.
And now they don't really have those constraints. So what could they do with a desert area even? Can they just have more areas populating the world that they choose to make? I'd be really curious to see whatever they have in store for us. I'm excited to see it. I'll just say that. Mm.
Yeah, speaking of satire, by the way, like GTA, that's always been its strong suit narratively, right? It's mm-hmm. just such a hilarious satire of whatever sort of moment in pop culture or moment in time and place of when the game comes out. I don't know how they satire this decade and this time we live in. We kind of live in like, every day is a satire. Like when you look at what's happening in the world around you, I wonder where they're going to go with that. But Stella, how about you in terms of setting here? Where do you want to see GTA 6 go?
I mean, I don't know. So I guess for the States, it would be kind of cool to see Chicago or New York, just because it is such like a compact city. So there definitely would be a lot to do. When Dustin was talking about like open, desert areas, I was like, oh yeah, Vegas would definitely not work because that's like one cluster and then everything else is just
nothing.
Desert. Yeah, there's nothing. But yeah, I feel like Chicago or New York might be kind of cool. But if they were to go international, I honestly would love to see like a South Korea sort of landscape because there's a lot. Mm. There are mountains, there are rural areas, there are like farms, but then there's also like massive cities with huge skyscrapers. And I'm like, I feel like that would do really well in a GTA like story, just because there's so much that you can do. You know, you have the subway systems, you have like the highways and all that stuff, and just everything, like so much room for so many activities. So yeah, that's kind of more my selfish wishful thinking. So
well, that's what we're here for. Yeah. I mean, a lot of fans have been calling for GTA to leave the United States for a while. I mean, there's so many amazing cities and places worldwide that could be incredible settings.
They did London
game.
They did London way back in the day.
That's true.
Right?
In the pre-3D days. Yeah. Back when it was a top-down game.
Yeah.
They did indeed do London. Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, New York was effectively for GTA 4 with going back to Liberty City. I can't imagine they would do Liberty City again, but I will say selfishly, I am probably in the minority camp here. I don't want them to go back to Vice City because I think the reason that most people love Vice City is because of Tommy Vercetti, because of the 80s setting, like the style, just the sheer style of that game. It was a vibe, right? That game was a vibe. But the geography, that's my thing with Vice City is it is geographically, in my opinion, the least interesting Grand Theft Auto game, and it's not even close. It's a flat rectangle. That's all it is. There are no hills. There's just not a lot of interesting geography to traverse. And when you look at what they just did with Grand Theft Auto 5, with this sort of greater, you know, Los Angeles area, there's just so much there. There's so much going on. I am not wanting to see Vice City from a geographic perspective. I have no doubt that it would, there'd be interesting characters and a cool story. And, you know, I don't know if they'd do the 80s again. I mean, I feel like they've done that. So I kind of doubt they would go do that again. But I would like to see somewhere new. I mean, it seems like they're, you know, in historically speaking, they've now gone back to Liberty City. They've gone back to San Andreas. And now, so are they going to go back to Vice City? There's a definite possibility, but I kind of hope I'm with Stella. I hope they go somewhere new, or with Miranda as well. Just think outside the box a little bit and let's blow it out. Let's see some new location that they could have some new adventures in.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz, and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And finally, on this topic, I mean, we're spending a lot of time on it, but it's GTA. I mean, it's literally the biggest thing. So what do you want to see out of it features-wise, gameplay-wise, character-wise? Miranda, I'll start with you because you'd already started to answer this with a lead character that you'd hope to see.
Give me a cool Chola, the Chola representation that I've never had myself. So give me the big hoops. Like I said, I'm really setting this more so in Texas. Like if this were like my dream GTA, maybe it's also because I kind of miss Texas. That's where I grew up. And I think that there is just a lot of really interesting potential for activities that you could do there. As you were saying, activities are just such a big thing in GTA. Like, this has to be a world that not only has interesting and goofy stories, but also has to have stuff to do. Just like stuff upon stuff. That's so much fun. When I was playing GTA 5, it was one of the first times in a long time where I had just like that, you know, that itch you get when it's like, I gotta go home. I gotta go play this game. Like, as soon as I get home, I'm gonna go straight to my console. I'm gonna go play this game. That's exactly how I felt about GTA. And I think it wasn't just because the characters were so fun and to jump around between, but also because there was just so much to explore and do and see. And I think getting a new setting will lend itself better to that as well. Honestly, I really loved the three character prong that they had in this and GTA 5. And I would actually like to see that come back. Like, I think it just lended itself to such interesting narrative bits for between them, and also really cool gameplay things as well. It was like having a party without really having a party. So I think they should hopefully keep up with that as well. And as I had mentioned previously, it'd be cool if we did some little space things, not like a lot. It doesn't have to be, it's not set in space. It's just, but what if you take over a space, you take over one of NASA's rockets and you just go to space for a minute, or SpaceX, just go hack their stuff and take it. Just go for a bit, you know? I mean, I think there's a lot of potential there. And even that would be interesting points for satire of just weird competitive market space race stuff of like, it's just not really a race. It's just more of a, I have a lot of money, so I'm going to go to space.
The billionaire space race.
Exactly. Oh, so yeah. I think that would be a really interesting point in having a place that is like known for space tech and space exploration and, you know, space launches would be a good spot for that. So I think that would just be an additional fun part. And of course, plenty of space for Easter eggs there too. So
yeah, I could definitely see if they were to go the Texas route with your idea of there being like a very like kind of eccentric, weird, crazy Elon Musk type character that you have to do some sort of spacey mission with. But, you know, to your point about stuff to do, I spent a lot of time playing golf and tennis.
Oh, yeah.
In GTA 5.
Tennis.
Somebody else who loved golf.
They're really good.
So good.
They're
so good. Like these were, this was like a legit golf game, a legit 18-hole golf course in San Andreas, and then the tennis you could play at your house. I think there were several locations you could play, but yeah, it was really good. It's just like, how do they do this? That and that's, it's that GTA detail, man. It's not necessarily the size. I mean, usually in San Andreas, they had the geographical size and the insane level of detail. Stella, let me go your way. You know, gameplay wise, feature wise, character wise, what are you hoping for?
I mean, just give me more classic GTA, I guess. Like, just talking about GTA 5 and everything that you could do, like, you're bringing back these memories of when I played, like, I would play tennis for, like, an hour with my friend and be like, oh, wait, we haven't done anything. We should go, like, do something else. Like, there's just so much that you can do, and I think that's so fun. So I want more of that, just, like, you know, obviously in an updated new-gen release. But yeah, in terms of narrative, like, I'm not really worried because they do story so well. Like, Rockstar does narrative really well. But I want something, I definitely want, like, a female main character. Like, at least out of,
it's
like,
time.
If there's going to be, like, another three set of main characters, I definitely want, like, a badass female type, you know? Like, maybe, this is just me more, like, fan writing, but, like, maybe she's, you know how Michael started out with the therapist, maybe she is a therapist, but she decides to heist their homes that way because she knows what they're going to be doing and stuff, which, by the way, therapy is amazing. I'm not trying to, like, make light of that, but, like, you know, that'd be really cool if she, like, you know, was like this really professional person, but really she has this whole other side to her, and just really flesh out that character. I feel like that'd be so cool.
Love it. Destin?
Yeah, just thinking on it more, I have to imagine, you know, I brought up, you know, doing all across the United States, they're going to push the tech forward. And I wonder if that's just thinking too small. What if they do multiple locations? What if they do an Asia location? They do a location in the middle of the world and they do the United States, you know? Why not just go everywhere? And I agree with you, Miranda. I love the three character thing. It gives them so much, so many interesting ways that they can write the dialogue between them and how their lives end up interconnecting by the end of the game. It was really, really interesting. So, like, maybe you run three different crime families across the world and you're just figuring out how to, like, make the most money possible or something. I don't know, but maybe that's too big. Maybe that, like, doesn't work for the world of Grand Theft Auto. Like I said, there's so many different ways they could play it. They could just do traditional New York or Florida or Texas, like Miranda said. But they said they want to push things further. So I'm trying to think, like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean the world? Does that mean the whole of the United States? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, I'm with all of you on the multi-character thing. It was a great part of 5. And remember that, I remember when 5 hadn't come out yet and we were previewing it, look at it. I remember having conversations in the office, like, I don't know if this three character thing is going to work. And it totally worked, to Rockstar's credit. And, the SSDs on these new consoles would lend themselves very well to jumping around the world, between multiple characters as well. So, you know, I did just get done saying that, you know, if they do go back to Vice City, which I'm not rooting for, that I doubt they'd do the 80s, but I wonder if wherever the game is set, I wonder if they might go 90s potentially, if they're going to do a period piece. Doing 90s things seems to kind of be the pop culture moment of du jour right now. Although I guess that wouldn't, that could be both a blessing and a curse in terms of, to what I was saying earlier about the modern day we live in being almost too insane in reality to effectively satire. You could escape that by setting it in the 90s, but it would also kind of put you in that weird spot where you don't really have cell phones that you can utilize in the game for, you know, the way that 4 and 5 put them to such good use. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not looking for scale as much, you know. I mean, it'd be amazing if there are giant states or multiple locations around the world. But for me, what separates GTA from other open world games, and there are so many open world games now, it's the level of detail. It's the little things. It's just the tiniest. I mean, the anecdote I've said a million times, but it's always the first thing that comes to mind is when I was first playing GTA 5 and just immersing myself in the game. And Miranda, by the way, I felt exactly the same way you did with 5, where it's just you think about the game when you're not playing it and you can't wait to play it again. Like, that is a rare feeling. There are not a lot of games that elevate to quite that level. And I imagine 6 will at least heading into it, at least have me feeling that way. And hopefully it will when it comes out too. But the anecdote is when I was playing GTA 5 and I'm just like wandering around and there's this like tour bus thing. I'm like, what the heck? Like, what is this? And I just get on it and you don't carjack it. You just take a seat and it takes you on a, it's through Vinewood and it takes you on a tour of the stars' homes and it's like 20 minutes long. I'm sure you could look it up on YouTube how long it actually is. I'm going off memory, but it was an entire, like they'd recorded this entire script, this whole VO of just this. You just sat and went on this tour of the stars' homes.
Oh my God.
It's not a mission. It's not on the map. It's basically an Easter egg. Like but not, because it's not hidden. It's just there in plain sight. Yep. And it's stuff like that, because, you know, Rockstar has the talent, the effectively unlimited time, as we've seen, that we're living through now, and unlimited budget. They have no restrictions. Nobody's like, nope, cut that tour of the stars thing. We got to ship the game. They're like, no, we're going to just put in every little thing that we want to put in, because nobody, you know, our last game has made literal billions of dollars and no one's going to say no if we say we need another $50 million to put in like all these little features. So that's what excites me, is just like, I want to see the level of detail, those kinds of little living world things taken to the next level. So that's what I'm looking for out of GTA 6, whenever it finally comes around. And just by the way, watching the B-roll that our producer Kate, I want to play GTA 5.
Right? You see, that's why it's out. That's why it's a next gen game. Everyone's just like, oh, we don't need another release of GTA 5. I was like, listen, when was the last time you played GTA 5? If you're like me and you played at launch, you're probably like, just like, oh, I actually do want to go back to it though, because it's been so long. And it would be nice to have that. And I think just this nice little escape, especially at this moment. Also, I looked it up. In the bus tour, I saw videos renewing from 7 minutes to about 10 to 15 minutes.
So, okay, wow, so I said cool. 20, but that's still, yeah, it's like, it's a good, a that's a long script. Yeah. Like somebody sat down, had an idea for that. There was a meeting about it. They're like, it's not a mission. It's not on the map. But there was a meet and somebody had to make that. A team of people, like more than one person had to work on doing that. And it's a 10 to 15 minute thing that's just there. So, oh, I love it so much. Thank you for looking that up.
Mm-hmm. There's also full TV episodes, Ryan, that I've sat and watched. Like, there's a magician. Yeah, there's a terrible magician TV show.
And who's the super, the dude in the, it's like, oh, the men's room? What was the one in the men's room?
I don't remember.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Nobody knows. I'm not crazy. It's like, okay, somebody needs to look this up while I introduce the next story. Because it's like Boz or Vaz or... It's like this super macho character, and the show, it's in the men's room, and it's hilarious.
Okay.
Again, like Miranda, I haven't played the game in a long time, which segues directly into our next GTA story, which I'll intro now as Miranda kindly looks this up. So yes, GTA 5's next gen re-release.
It's a thing.
What's the name of it?
It's a talk show with two hosts. It takes place in a set, may look like a men's restroom or locker room. I think it was just called The Men's Room with Rudin and Jeremy St. Ives.
Okay, so my memory was pretty good. And it's hilarious. So everybody Miranda, when you get the next gen version, you need to watch The Men's Room because it's hysterical.
Okay.
All right, so new graphics modes with up to 4K resolution, up to 60 frames per second, texture and draw distance upgrades, HDR options, and ray tracing. Nice.
Ooh,
Rockstar fancy. Also promises that the games will take it. Well, there's just one game. The game will take advantage of new console tech, offering faster loading times, immersive 3D audio, platform-specific features like advanced haptic feedback. Sadly, that will not apply to the Xbox version. And much more. And players will be able to perform a one-time migration of their story mode progress and GTA Online characters from Xbox One to Xbox Series X and S. So, Destin, I note there, I'm not poo-pooing any of this, but for people who are hoping and thinking 4K 60, it sounds like it's going to be one or the other and not both at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It says up to 4K, up to 60. So you'll probably be doing push-pull there.
Yeah.
I would have to imagine they do something like 1440 upscaled to 4K, not native 4K.
Right.
Native 4K at 30 is usually what places will do. And for like the main campaign, like that seems totally fine. There's also there's this really, really cool mod that's like the realism mod. I just wanted to mention really quick that a lot of people have shown in GTA where it basically just makes the game look like the real world. So that's not what we're getting with the next gen update. It was just something I was thinking about for GTA 6, actually. All this stuff sounds great. Ray tracing, sure. Personally, like, I think ray tracing is fine, but it's such a resource hog that I would rather SSR in 60 than ray tracing in 30. You know, like there's always a push pull when you're pushing stuff to its graphical limits. And that's one where I'm just like, yeah, it's cool, but it's sort of like your personal preference, right? So,
For an older game now, almost a 9-year-old game like GTA 5, when you fire up this Series X version, are you going to go for performance or visual fidelity? Assuming it's a choice, maybe it will be. There will be a 4K 60 option, but
I don't like 30 very much anymore. Like for a narrative game, sure, I can do 30 like that. Like if Hellblade's at 30, that'll be totally fine. But I don't know. That's a really tough question for me for a game like this. It's all about your personal preference, right? Like I would probably do 60.
Stella?
Sorry.
what's your hype level for this re-release and what sort of visual or performance settings are you going to opt for?
I'm really excited for 60. Honestly, that's like the thing that I'm more excited about. But the thing that I'm really, really so happy about is that the fact that like loading times will not take forever. I cannot tell you how long I have sat on that like startup screen on my PC. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm going to walk away for like 15 minutes. And when I come back, I will maybe just get in. So I'm really happy about that. That's it. I've had
that
so
is
many
fair.
Issues with that.
Yeah, I mean, the loading times is a big one. Miranda, how about you? What are you eyeing with this re-release?
I think I'd try 4K first, just because I want to see it look fancy.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, my hope is, it's not apples to apples, but Insomniac ended up patching Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is amazing, by the way, if you've got a PS4 or PS5. They ended up on PS5, they patched it because at launch, when I played it, it was
30 or 60. And then they patched
30 with ray tracing or 60 without. And I played with ray tracing because I wanted it to look as good as possible. They ended up patching it, I believe, to 45 frames per second. And maybe they've patched it again since. I'm not sure. But
no, I think what happened, Ryan, is they reduced the resolution. But they were allowed you to have all the bells and whistles at 60. That so there was sense. A middle ground. Go check out my performance for you. Spider-Man Miles Morales is an incredible technical achievement. And it's like one of the best looking games ever. I did the performance for you for that. Got to interview some people from Insomniac. And just, wow, what a stunning game. I thought it was really cool how they gave you the option, right? They did 30, they did 60. And in the performance year, I was like, I wish they had like a middle ground option, like just if they're able to dip the low resolution, and then like a week later they did it. And I was like, how are you even able to manage all this? It's crazy.
And so the reason I bring up Miles Morales is because it is a much newer game than Grand Theft Auto 5. Again, they're different engines, different developers. I'm not trying to draw a straight line between them, but it gives me optimism that because Rockstar is exceptionally talented, they've spent a long time on this next gen release. and the core GTA 5 is pretty old at this point, that hopefully we will get the best of all worlds as, you know, as options, as fidelity and performance options with this re-release. But yeah, I can't wait to play this again. I've been itching to play it again, but I've decided that, like, I got to wait for this proper next-gen version. And I think it's going to be worth the wait. I think it's one of the best games ever. And if by some chance anybody watching or listening has not played GTA 5 and you're going to dive in with this Series X version, you're in for a treat. That is going to be a really good time for you. Next this week, Infinity Ward has teased this year's, yes, 2022's Call of Duty game, despite Vanguard shipping less than 3 months ago, like 2+ months ago.
This is the year for Call of Duty, Ryan.
That game, that Call of Duty this year is almost guaranteed to be Modern Warfare 2. Infinity Ward tweeting from their official studio account, "A new generation of Call of Duty is coming soon. Stay frosty." So, Miranda, it's Modern Warfare 2, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What else would it be? I don't know. I don't see them deviating from Modern Warfare at any time soon. If they did, that'd be very weird.
Yeah, I mean, the Stella, did you play? We talked about this. You did play. You enjoyed the Modern Warfare reboot, right?
Yeah, it was really great. I loved it. It was the first time in a while that I was like, oh my god, I want to play Call of Duty, like, after a long day, right? Because usually it would just be Titanfall or Apex, and I was like, oh yeah, no, this is great. Like, the balancing felt really good. Everything, like, time to kill felt great. Like, I really did not have many complaints about that game, like, if at all. So happy about this. Yeah. But, you know, I'm also just very, very tired of Call of Duty releases every year. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm exhausted. Like, it's just, I'm like, great. So I gotta feel for this game now. Like, I gotta adjust to this, which is, you know, honestly, I've not been playing Vanguard, so it's fine. There's not much that I have to adjust to, but I'm just like, we really don't need a new Call of Duty game every year. I'm tired of this. So that's kind of where I'm at.
So instead of stay frosty, it's stay exhausted.
Also just a general state of being for me. So,
yeah. Miranda, before I go to Destin, Miranda, as I remember, the Modern Warfare reboot ended on something of a cliffhanger, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for people necessarily, even though it's a couple of years old, but there was definitely a setup for another one.
There was indeed. I think for me, whenever I just look at that, because I generally liked the multiplayer okay. I give it a 7.5, so it's like, I did like it. I just want to see the multiplayer be more consistent. They have a lot of issues with their map designs and spawns. Like, that's something I always look for immediately. I'm like, how does this feel? Because it doesn't matter how good your gunplay is if your map designs are bad. Or, like, not bad, excuse me, I don't mean to be so harsh, but are ineffective in creating a good dynamic between both teams. So that's what I look for. Because I think, I know, Ryan, you really enjoyed the campaign. And I think I gave it an
8, if memory serves.
Okay. 8.2 yeah. is what I just saw.
Oh, we were still on the 100-point scale.
Okay. Yeah, we were. This is back in 2019, I believe. So, that's just what I want to see that time. And I think that ends up, again, being a time issue, right? Like, if you don't have time to really nail down, like, the tech behind your spawns and the designs and really get a lot of playtesting in, I'm sure it's a very big challenge to make something that's as balanced as it needs to be for something as intense as Call of Duty. And because it does have such a quick time to kill, and that's just a signature of Call of Duty, right? Spawn issues are paramount to fix, I would say, just because if you get locked in somewhere, that's it. That's your game. You get to be locked in somewhere. It's a bad time. So I think that's just, I've really fallen out with Call of Duty's multiplayer, which feels bad because I do actually like those yearly iterations of something new and something fresh and something fun, but it hasn't felt exactly fun the past two games. So yeah.
Destin, you seem to exhibit
boredom. What you're saying,
I was gonna say apathy, but yeah, boredom. All right.
Wow.
Look, I'm looking at this footage right now of Vanguard. It looks great. The narrative storytelling was sort of fun based on what I played, but I just don't care anymore. Like, and I felt that way for a long time. And I think that's why you're starting to see attrition. Is that the right word?
Loss
of players on both Warzone and Call of Duty. What are they going to do to get a player like me to say, I have to play this year's Call of Duty? And I think that's going to be a challenge for whoever ends up owning the company in the years going forward.
It's Microsoft, heads up.
Well, that's not approved yet, but the FCC still has to approve it. So that's not going to happen until 2023, you know. But anyway, the point is, like, how do you get somebody like me invested back in this world? Modern Warfare 2 or 3 or whatever. Like, I don't even know what Modern Warfare we're on. I don't care. You know, I don't know what happened in that story. How long ago was that? They did the remaster like 4 years ago. And I think that's a problem they need to address. Every time I pick up Call of Duty and play it, I'm like, yep, it's Call of Duty. I play it for a day or two and then I stop, you know, but there are people that literally just, it's like Madden. They get it every single year. Those people are going to be there. But as we're seeing the player count decrease on these games, I'm curious if we're finally seeing Call of Duty start to lose its guaranteed blockbuster status every year.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad you brought this up because it got me thinking while you were talking. And that's, I wonder, kind of obviously this ties into Microsoft since they just acquired Activision Blizzard, and we talked on one or two shows ago about how some of the leads at Activision were meeting about, like, you know, do we want to keep doing this as an annual thing with, you know, with Warzone already out there as a living, you know, service game of sorts. And it kind of, you know, your comments, Destin, you're not alone in that. There are a lot of gamers that feel that way. And the numbers from Vanguard have shown that, right? They've shown that apathy, that sort of that fatigue. And I wonder if when Microsoft takes over, what do you guys think of the chances that Microsoft gives it a little break and then reboots it? Like, just start over, Call of Duty. I don't know where it would be set, if that's a World War II game or where they go with it.
No, don't Miranda, say that. No?
Yeah, please stop. We're done with those. We're done with those.
With reboots?
I don't
know. We're done with the World War II settings.
Oh, yeah, just World War II.
We're done with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing something phenomenally different.
Yeah.
Please don't.
I mean,
Call
of Duty as a thing, as a term, is not, it is applicable to any, any military, you know, any sort of conflict based thing. It's not unique to World War II. So that's the good news. It's not, not like a World War II term.
The gameplay formula is rock solid. Like, the gameplay is fine. Miranda brings up, like, map design and stuff like that, which is an important, you know, criticism that they'll have to address. But gameplay wise, like, the movement, the shooting, the reloading, the perks and the kill streaks and all that, they've sort of got that dialed in and almost perfected, right? So it's like they can't just blow all that up. Look at the visual design here. Like, they make stunning visual storytelling moments for the campaigns. I don't really know how they reset it. I think one of my problems are, like, none of these narrative storylines are tied together really. Or if they are, it's like very, like, one character that ends up sort of having a through line in all of these stories. And yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know how they address a criticism like the one I have.
I want to speak to a couple of things you said. Number one, about the continuity. I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, Modern Warfare, they've had to go back to in order to regain people's interest. And it worked. They did a great job with the reboot. Again, Miranda and I reviewed it, the respective multiplayer and campaign sides of it. But Black Ops, which is the other big sub-brand of Call of Duty, has kind of given up on the campaign. I mean, I know Black Ops Cold War had a campaign, but that's like splitting the hair even further. It's Black Ops Cold War. And it's like, well, how far out onto the pier here are we going to go before we just splash into the ocean and drown? And then Sledgehammer, you know, they tried something new in terms of a brand with Vanguard this year, and that doesn't seem to have really worked. So that's kind of where I'm coming from when I talk about why not reboot it. And you know, Destin, I don't disagree with you when you say that the gunplay, the mechanics, the gameplay mechanics have been pretty dialed in. I would like to see it blown up and start over with a reboot. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, and whether that's Infinity Ward, whether that's the Coalition, like that's what I'm saying. This, whether that's id Software, like this future now that Microsoft is building, let's burn it all down and start over. Like we've had 15 straight years of Call of Duty that has fundamentally felt the same. You know, sometimes the campaign and the story and the characters are good and the graphics are, and sometimes it's not, and sometimes there is no campaign, and sometimes the map designs are not great. So that's what I'm saying is, like, I actually would like to see the entire thing completely demolished and rebuilt from scratch with maybe some fresh development talent. And that is not a criticism of Infinity Ward or Sledgehammer or Treyarch, but there is now this bigger talent pool. Maybe Microsoft, and I'm not saying they should do this, but I think their history suggests they might think about it. Maybe they make a new, like, Call of Duty super team that has an open call to all their studios that says, if you want to join our Call of Duty studio, you know, apply, because, you know, they've got, they have the Forts, they have Turn 10 that makes nothing but Forza games. They have 343 that makes nothing but Halo games. And they've got the Coalition, which has to date made nothing but Gears of War games. Am I taking crazy pills, Miranda?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to want to disrupt things that much. No. But I see what you're saying when the series needs a reboot. And I think, if anything, I think it just needs more definition. I think having these studios and have them have certain goals for what their Call of Duty looks like. Because I think in the past, it felt more expected. It's weird to say, like, the tone of the gameplay. Like, does that even make sense? But, like, it made a lot of sense of what you would come to expect from each of these studios. And I think just with turnover of leads and other things, we've kind of lost that. Like, I think I was especially excited to see Sledgehammer start leading more into the horror aspect of things. Like, obviously there's a lot of atrocities and horror with war. But I think when they did World War II, WW2, it was really cool to see that kind of pervasive through all elements of their game. And I would like to see more of that definition. And I think that could help differentiate them a little bit more. And I think you have a good point with, we have these brands of Call of Duty. And I think it's not necessarily just brands or locking them into, like, you only make Modern Warfare games, you only make Black Ops games. It's what kind of tones of games do you make? It doesn't have to be locked into these characters or these sorts of storylines, but how are these different from each other? So, yeah, I think that would be helpful.
Well said. Well said. Stella, do you want to call me crazy too before we move on? So here's your chance.
No, I don't want to call you crazy. But I don't think that they would do a huge, like, nuclear process on their stuff. But I do think that if there was something that could, I think something cool would be, like, if they did link all their stories together somehow through, like, a sort of, like, Call of Duty universe. That'd be really cool, because they already kind of did that with zombies, which, by the way, they absolutely massacred zombies mode in Vanguard, which I'm still so disappointed about. Yeah. So they had this overarching story that linked each of the zombies' campaigns together, which was really cool and actually pretty incredible once you were playing through the storylines and you were able to connect the dots and everything. So something like that with the main campaigns of each game would actually be super cool. And I think that would only add to, like, intrigue to players, because that's, like, a big reason why I got more into zombies, because, like, my friends and I would look up all the Easter eggs and try to be like, oh, wait, so this is before this timeline, this is after, if these events had happened, stuff like that. I think their narrative is fine. I think they do a good job, but, like, I do want more spaced out, like, single player games, I guess, and multiplayer, because having to readjust to every single game's meta is so disappointing and, like, a lot of work for a casual gamer, right? Or, like, even a competitive gamer.
Contest that a little bit, but I think that's almost one of the strengths of Call of Duty, is that you are resetting every time, because then I think the difference in mechanics makes it feel renewed every Call of Duty. And that's part of the tone of each of those studios, right? Where if you want something that's more consistent and more be more competitive, they could do that more with Warzone.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring up Warzone too. Yeah. Like, that's totally fair and that's fine. I think Vanguard just was so disappointing. Like, the way that the guns were just heavily unbalanced. But like, yeah, because they have Warzone now, I think what Microsoft might do is just focus on Warzone because, I mean, they really want to make a game that will have to combat against like, or compete against like Apex and stuff, because now Apex is branching outside of Battle Royale. So I think they might try to follow that kind of formula because, I mean, Warzone does make a lot of money. And the fact that every single season, there are always blueprint weapons that rule the meta in Warzone, that costs, that gives them a lot of money as well. So if they can move multiplayer to exist in Warzone and have like a playlist there where you can play, you know, team deathmatch, stuff like that, as opposed to just Warzone, move multiplayer to one source like that and have Call of Duty's solo campaigns just roll out every 2 years, I think that's great.
That's
so,
the dream.
Oh, I like
that. That's kind of my idea on like how that could be revived for me and I wouldn't feel so exhausted. I don't want them to nuke the series. I just want them to do better.
Nuke it, Call of Duty Modern Warfare style.
No!
Yeah, the first one, not the reboot. Destin, let me circle back to you before we move on to our next and probably final story for the week. But what about, I mean, you expressed a lot of fatigue with this, with the franchise at the top of this segment. And then I went off on a weird rant about, you know, maybe we level the whole thing and start a, you know, a 3-4-3 like Call of Duty team. I mean, would that be appealing to you, or what, or do you like what Stella's saying, or what do you think, where do you want to see the series go to try and get your interest back up?
I would like to play as a character whose story that I follow across multiple games. The way that Black Ops and Modern Warfare handled are, your character doesn't really matter. Like, I don't think your character is mentioned in those stories. It's all about the characters surrounding you, like Soap McTavish, and that's the one that always jumps out to me, and others. So it's Black Ops and it's Modern Warfare. Those are the stories that people really latch on to and enjoy. So yeah, I don't know. Just something new where it's a shooter, right? So you sort of play these finite experiences. And I'm more of a player that likes to follow one character. Like, I'll use Chief and Cortana as an example. Like, I'm constantly learning more about their relationship, or now Chief and the weapon, you know? And yeah, so I mean, they're still making more money than anybody else, so they're not doing anything too wrong. So I highly doubt they're going to adjust the formula as much as you would like, Ryan. But I'm all kind of for anything that would shake it up a bit.
Yeah. Well said. We'll see what happens here over the next couple of years after Microsoft assumes control. But I still found that interesting that, I mean, I think this is the soonest a new Call of Duty game has been teased or acknowledged or officially mentioned in any way, you know, right after the previous one had come out 2 months ago and change, which probably speaks to the reception of Vanguard, deserved or not, where Infinity Ward felt the need to go, it's okay, guys, we're making a new shiny toy for you. Don't worry. If you don't like the last one, we've got another one coming up later this year. So
when Microsoft takes over, here's what I actually want. Let Raven work on something else. And like, they're going through a bunch of turmoil right now too. So get the culture thing in order. That's the first order of business, right? And then let Raven work on not Call of Duty. Let them work on Hexen. Let them work on a superhero game. Let them work on, they're so talented and they're working on Call of Duty. Like, there's so much talent at these studios and they only make one game, you know? It's just, yeah.
Miranda, did you want to finish the point?
Yeah, apologies. I was going to, I know we keep, sorry. Also, Stella started to interrupt you earlier as well.
No,
I was
just, it's
like,
all right.
Wait, yeah, fine. No, but really quick, I just wanted to say, do you think that them confirming that they're working on the next Call of Duty is more of a point of the acquisition? Obviously, we know it's not till 2023. Like, that's all a thing in the future. But do you think that's just a little, hey, by the way, these things are still happening, business as usual?
I personally interpret it as a direct response to the disappointment of Vanguard. I don't read anything into the acquisition side of things with that. I think it's just like, hey, you all assume we're working on Modern Warfare 2. We're going to wink, wink, confirm that just to let you know, to get you hyped up for later this year. Don't feel too bad about Call of Duty because we're back, baby. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I really did enjoy the Modern Warfare reboot. I think it's, if for me, it's been my favorite of the Call of Duty campaigns in quite a while. I think I said that in the review as well. But and I hope Modern Warfare 2 adds to that list. All right. Our last topic this week here, we've got a bit of time left. I can't believe this story is coming back, but here we go. I know our commenters are going to love it. They love talking about this game. Platinum Games wants to return to Scalebound, and they are now publicly appealing to Phil Spencer to try and make it happen. This story actually came from IGN Japan, our friend Daniel Robeson and the team there. Speaking to IGN Japan, Platinum president Atsushi Inaba explained that Scalebound creator Hideki Kamiya has been talking about wanting to work on Scalebound again for a while. Kamiya himself added, quote, "I'd like to appeal to Phil Spencer directly. Let's do it, Phil." So, Destin, I got to go your way first on this. This is a game that was canceled a long time ago, but the Xbox community has kind of kept the flame burning on this. And now that spark has seemingly ignited the team at Platinum and Kamiya specifically as well. What do you say here? Is this do you share the enthusiasm? Do you think there's a decent chance this could actually happen?
I would say I'm like mediumly interested in Scalebound coming back, but the more that I watch the footage of it, the more I'm kind of like, you know what? This was actually really interesting. I believe the main reason it got canceled was for technical reasons, which are probably all but gone now that we have new hardware, right? Or at least they've had more time to figure out how to optimize those sort of systems that they were trying to implement. I'd be down to try out Scalebound. It's unique. I don't think there's anything else like it that I can think of off the top of my head. And yeah, go for it. Sure.
Stella, you weren't on the show when this was a thing.
It was not. No.
So yeah, what are your thoughts on Scalebound? Do you want to see it come back?
I am not going to lie. I totally forgot about this thing. I think it looked great. Like, I'm always for games like this. Like, I do love story-based and narrative-driven games. I would like it just because it kind of makes me think of like a, what is it? Like a more combat immersive Dragon Age Inquisition, I guess, at least like the setting kind of, but it also kind of has like reminiscence of Final Fantasy 14. So I definitely like it. I think it wouldn't be a bad partnership. And I think Xbox should do it.
I just love that the dragons run around wrecking shop.
Oh, I love that.
Like, and that dragon still looks great.
Yeah.
Look how good that dragon. This is like footage from, I don't know, what is this, like 6-7-year-old footage at this point?
Yeah.
The dragon still looks awesome.
Frame rate looks a little slow, but
yeah.
That can be fixed.
So gorgeous. Yeah, exactly. I feel like with full support, this could be so good at its full potential. And I loved Monster Hunter as well. That's what it is. Monster Hunter World. This kind of like has that same sort of feel to it just because of the massive scale of the creatures. And I don't know. I would love that. I think they should back it.
And you know what else? This would be a good like PR move, just generally speaking, because it would be righting a wrong in the community's eyes, right? Like we were wrong about Scalebound, so we're giving it another shot. And then they launch it and people can decide for themselves if it was a good game or not. But yeah, I don't know. I'm it's growing on me.
Miranda, where are you with this?
The concept is so cool. I love games where you essentially have a companion character helping you on your journey. Have a companion as a whole gosh darn dragon. That'd be so cool. I was really into the idea of this game, and I think it was the first Platinum game that like really caught my attention. I like some of their games, but generally it's just like, oh, that seems okay or cool, but I'm not much of a Bayonetta person. But this one, it's like, let's do it. But I also don't know all the details of, you know, what happened with canceling that game. But I think if there's talent that wants to get back to him, be like, hey, what if we revisit this? Then maybe they have a reason behind that to fix potentially other problems that happened with it. And obviously, there's a lot of people who would be interested in it. So that'd be pretty neat.
It's like
it's strange to see the mix of like dragons and sort of this almost medieval period with technology too. So I think that's what makes this especially cool.
It's like Last Guardian meets Bayonetta. It's neat.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah. Like maybe it. Even a, like a hint of Dynasty Warriors in there too, with just like the large
number of enemies.
Scale. Yeah. There's just tons of enemies on the screen.
Scale.
To hack and slash. God,
Destin. Oh, Destin, he becomes a dad, suddenly has dad jokes.
I was bound to make that joke.
Oh,
stop
boy.
It. Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
We know it's almost time to end the show. Yeah, actually, it is almost time to end the show. But in any case, yeah, I'm on record. You could go find the receipts of me saying we need to let this game go. It's gone. But and the reason that I have to feel that way and have to think that way is because it's the only way I can make it through. Because like True Fantasy Live Online, I'm old. So that was an MMORPG from Level 5 for the original Xbox that looked amazing. Look it up on YouTube if you don't know what I'm talking about. True Fantasy Live Online. That was going to be an Xbox exclusive. It looked incredible. That got canceled. That one hurt me a lot. And the other cancellation that hurt me a lot, although it was a game I did actually get to play, and we did get to play, 1 versus 100 is the other one. Where it's like, bring back 1 versus 100. It's like, God, there are license holders. There's all sorts of reasons. Like, I've had to just let it go as much as I would love to see it come back. So, and I feel the same way about Scalebound, but if Cameo wants to do it, and, you know, Phil Spencer's certainly got cash to splash around. It's just like, all right, throw some, why not bring this back? You know, it can go well. Like if you look at Metroid Dread, a game that was in development for a while, went away, eventually came back and was a Game of the Year nominee. It can also go kind of poorly. Like say with Duke Nukem Forever, where a game is in development for a long time, goes away, comes back, and then, okay, you know, maybe didn't turn out super great, but hopefully if Scalebound can find its way onto our Xbox Series X hard drives, it will be more like a Metroid Dread than a Duke Nukem Forever. All right, time for trivia before we get out of here. Good question. Robert Tonkley, whose gamer tag is Captain Bluey from Sydney, Australia, asks this. He says, at its launch, Xbox Live Arcade games were limited to 50 megabytes in size. There was a hard cap on the file size for Live Arcade games so that they could fit on if you had a one of the 360s without a built-in hard drive, if you had the arcade, the 360 arcade. So they sold memory cards. Progressively, this limit was increased. The file size limit on the Live Arcade games went up to 150 megs, then later 350 megs, and later 2 gigabytes. His question is, what was the first Live Arcade game that exceeded the 50 megabyte limit? I remembered this one. It's possible that this question has been asked on the show years ago, but it is a test for all of you. I will start with Miranda on this one. Was it Boom Boom Rocket? Good game. Uno, very popular game. Castlevania Symphony of the Night, it's another big one. Or yeah. Alien Hominid. These are all 4 excellent Live Arcade games. One of them was the first one to be bigger than 50 megabytes. Do you remember which one, Miranda?
I do not. I also don't know what Boom Boom Rocket is, and I will look it up after this, but I'm going to guess Alien Hominid.
Okay. Stella, how about you?
I was also stuck on Alien or Castlevania. My first guess was Alien, so I'm going to stick with that because I can't second guess myself.
Okay. All right, got to trust the gut here.
Yeah.
Destin, your chance.
That was mine also. But I'll just be different. I'll say Castlevania because I don't know.
Okay, so interesting strategy. You either... Wait. You could have gone sink or swim with the crew.
Like, oh, is it too late?
No, hey, I'm just, you know, being
Alien Hominid was like an animated style and Castlevania was Konami who... Can they just not optimize anything? Like,
wow.
That's what I don't remember. Wow. Uno, like, is Uno the red herring where, like, you would think that cards don't take a lot to,
oh my God.
Render? But, yeah, all right, whatever, Castlevania.
Okay, so you are gonna stick with Castlevania.
I just have this bad feeling I'm wrong.
Well, I'm glad you stuck with it because it is the right one.
Oh yes!
I thought you were gonna move off of it.
No, Castlevania will be that big, right?
Myself. No.
Oh, let me add the point to Destin's.
Oh no!
That's okay.
Ryan, let tied up, right?
Ryan, let me first guess myself.
Yes, Miranda 2, Destin 2. Done. All right.
Okay. That's so
thank you to our listener, Robert. Again, his gamer tag if you want to make a new friend on Xbox Live. Captain Blueys, two separate words, Bluey. He's from Sydney. Great job on that one, Robert. You really made the panel sweat. Ugh. And Destin, congrats on that point. We will play again next week. And you can, by the way, send in your trivia questions. I always need good ones. I barely get more than a couple a week. So send in your good Xbox trivia questions to unlocked@ign.com. Include the question, include 4 multiple choice answers. Please note the correct answer in your email. And don't forget your name. We're time. We got to get out of here now, though. I am Ryan McCaffrey. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. Miranda, you want to give yourself a plug?
Yeah, you can find me at Havoc Grows, and that's Havoc with the K. Please check out our guides. And if you are interested in streams, I'm starting Catherine tonight, the classic one.
Oh.
I've never played it.
You never played Catherine?
No. This has been on my list for many years.
Lots of drama. You're going to, yeah. I like that one a lot.
Drama.
That's all I got.
Stella?
You can find me at Parallax Stella everywhere. I'm usually playing FPS games on stream after work, of course. But this weekend in light of Valentine's Day, I guess, I am running a one-shot, D&D one-shot that I wrote myself, and I'm very happy about that. It'll be hosted on my channel on the 12th at 2 p.m. PST. It features guests like Blessing from Kind of Funny, Harley, Caden Jensen from Rooster Teeth, and Becca Godsey. So, yes, very excited for that.
Oh, that's fun. It's awesome. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Destin, take us home.
Yeah, I actually, for IGN, I'm working on a bunch of stuff for the Steam Deck. I'm allowed to say that I have it and that you can expect to see more soon. I think that's all I'm allowed to say, which is weird embargo things. But yeah, so I'm really, really excited about that and sharing more with you on that topic. Of course, you know, I do the YouTube thing. You can watch me over at YouTube, the Destin channel. You can order my cookies at LeGarry Baker if you want some cookies. Miranda's getting some pretty soon. So very, very happy that most people seem to really like them. So that's my, like, my wife and I are doing that.
Still
together, so.
Still California only for now, Destin?
For now, I'm kind of scared to go. There's so much interest like US wide that I'm a little scared because the last amount of orders was a lot. So
yay!
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah, we'll look forward to Destin's final show here in a couple months after he wants to become a cookie mogul.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever makes you happy, my friend. So for Destin, Miranda, Stella, and our super producer, Kate, I'm Ryan. This was Podcast Unlocked, episode 530. We'll see you again next week.
IGN FanFest, a massive event celebrating the biggest names in games and entertainment. And it's all powered by you, the fans. All right! Join us for exclusive new looks and deep dives on the most exciting things you can't wait for this year.
I just got goosebumps.
Brand new gameplay, sneak peeks, stars, and your biggest questions answered. IGN FanFest kicks off on February 19th at 11 a.m. Pacific, so don't miss a second of it.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.